Father, I thank you, Lord, for this hour of fellowship as we are gathered together, fellowship around the Word of God. Holy Spirit, indeed, you are welcome. And we pray, Lord, that you take the bread of life, hallelujah, and break it unto us even this morning in Jesus' name. And Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Let that light shine in our hearts today. Give us that understanding that we may know the things that are freely given us of God. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. We've been talking about the keys of the kingdom and the ordinances of heaven. The keys of the kingdom and the ordinances of heaven. Well, it's a deep subject. You know, it's hard to really tell how far we can go in this subject, but I want to read something to us first, and we just take it from there. There are two places where this title comes from in the scriptures. One in the Matthew chapter 16, Jesus took an opinion poll of his disciples. "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" he asked. And they said, "Well, some say you are this, some say they are that," and so forth. "But what about you?" he further asked. "Who say ye that I am?" And Peter said, "Well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus proceeded to answer and said, said that revelation that you just spoke of who I am, you didn't learn it of men. My Father gave it to you. You know? Now that tells us that we can't really know who the Christ is, you know, except, you know, the Father or the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. You know, no man knows who the Father is but the Son. No man knows who the Son is but the Father, and he to whom he will reveal it. And Jesus said, that is a powerful revelation. Now, upon this rock, that's the revelation of who Jesus is, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the church needs to really know who Jesus is, because it's saying that upon that rock of who the knowledge of who he is, the revelation of who he is, that is going to build the church upon that. And furthermore, he proceeded to say, and I will give you, well, that's because you have this revelation, then I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom, you know, of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind upon the earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose upon the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now let's try to connect the pieces. One, who Jesus is and why is it a revelation to know who it is? I mean, why can't we just learn it? Because the Bible says that he says here that you could not have learned it and it wasn't taught to you of man, you know, but my Father revealed it to you. Flesh and blood could not have revealed it to you, he said. And then he said to me, I went ahead and said, well, because you have it then, you know, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. So connecting the dots, we see that the ability to have dominion. Now, this is dominion now. Bind things on earth and it's so. Lose and it's so. In other words, whatever you do, heaven's actions, that's dominion. You know, so I want to talk a little bit about dominion. Now, keep that in mind, and then we jump to the book of Job, just showing us where these two phrases came from. In the book of Job, chapter 38, God was asking Job a number of questions and asking Job to come up with the answers if he knows. Otherwise, if you don't know, then you better, it's like, put up or shut up. You better keep quiet in the presence of God if you don't know what's going on. You know, so the Lord would challenge Job with many, many questions. We've read some of it. I would like to invite you to read through that whole chapter. That's actually several chapters. There's a couple more after that, where the Lord was challenging Job with some things. But in this chapter of chapter 38, you know, it come down to this place where he says, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades?" This is verse 31. "Or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Mars or Earth in his season?" Now, these questions are letting us know that these things actually exist. The Pleiades, the constellations, Mazaroth and so forth. "Canst thou guard Arcturus with his sons?" Now, this is the one that we're interested in. "Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven?" Now, that question tells us there is such a thing as the ordinances of heaven. But God is asking Job here whether he knows it. I mean, he knows these ordinances. "Canst thou set the dominion thereof?" Thereof there means the dominion of the ordinances of heaven. Can you set their dominion on the earth? So, between this text and the one in Matthew, we want to consider something. There is something that Jesus alluded to in Matthew that will give Peter dominion. He called it the keys of the kingdom, you know, of heaven, you know. And so that's one part of the title of this series. And he said, when you have those keys, you'll be able to bind and loose. That's basically dominion. And God will sanction it. Heaven will sanction it, really, he said. And then here, you know, Job is being asked if he understands how the ordinances of heaven, how they work, the dominion that they can bring upon the earth. Can you do it? So now, with that in mind, let's consider what dominion might mean. You know, the story in Genesis is very interesting. When God made all these things that he made them all first. And lastly, he made the man. Have you ever wondered why he did it in that order? Well, you know, many reasons why he might have done it in that order. But one reason is the way I like to look at it, actually the way the Lord revealed it to me a few years ago, was that God was imagining things in his mind. And as he did, he called them forth. He says, well, he liked this, he called it forth. He didn't like the darkness, so he called forth the light. Now, God did not create the light. That's impossible. God himself is light. He only called it forth. So God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He didn't create the light, but he commanded the light to shine out of darkness. The light was already there, but there was something that brought darkness into that place. So God commanded the light, said, "Let there be light." That light was in him. Bible says that Christ was that light, and Christ, we know, had been before the world even began. So that light was always there. God commanded that light to shine into that darkness that was there. He commanded everything. He created the earth and everything. And then he created the man and then put him in charge. Well, let's look at the sequence. You know, day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. And we are told that after he created the man, then God made some declarations to the man, and then rested from all his works. You know, I've made this argument before that people said that God was tired. That's why he rested from his works. But I submit to you that the word rested here that is used in this case is not because of weariness, not at all. But the word is the same that is used in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 4. You know, this is the story of Noah in the ark and everything, you know, and being tossed up and down and so forth for many, many days, months even. And then finally in verse 4 of Genesis 8, and the ark rested in the seventh month and on the 17th day on the mountains of Ararat. Was the ark tired? No. It came to a halt. That's the word that is used here. You know, so God ceased. You know, the Bible says, you know, God ceased from his works, and he has entered into his rest to cease from his labors, just as God ceased from his works. So it was a cessation of the activities of creation. It wasn't a tiredness. Now, folklore forever, or our traditions, have told us that God was tired, so he rested on the seventh day. So we must also rest on the Sabbath day, and, you know, and so on, because God rested. Well, you know, let us read the book of Isaiah, and let's debunk that one right away. The book of Isaiah, chapter 40, you know, we read a few things that he says, you know, about the Lord. Hast thou not known, and hast thou not heard? We can read it from verse 28 of Isaiah 40. You know, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. He never gets tired. That's what he's saying here. So, if he didn't get tired, and there is no searching of his understanding, you cannot get to the end of it. That's what it means. Well, if he didn't get tired, then what was it, you know, that he did? You know, so let's change our mindset about God getting tired. He doesn't faint. He doesn't get weary. We're told here. So what was it? Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that what it was God doing all those imaginations and creating everything, calling them forth and so forth. And when it came to the crescendo, in other words, the height of his imaginations, you know, he imagined himself. He said, what? You know, the way to reproduce himself was through man. So imagine, let's create man in our image. Well, we know he was talking to the Christ, because according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we're told that Christ was the one that was in the express image of the Father. You know, he looked just like him, was all like him. He was there with him from the beginning. And so, I'm talking about, you know, and we know in Romans chapter 8, you know, verse, you know, 29, we're told that God had a plan for these people to become like Christ, come into the image of his Son. Well, the Son was like him. We will be like the Son. Then we will be like him. So that's it. You know, that's the progression. The Son like the Father. We like the Son. That makes us like the Father. Now, when God finally imagined himself, there was nothing else to imagine. He's done now. You know, you cannot imagine anything greater than God. There's nothing else. He created the heavens, the earth, all these things, sea, fish, animals, trees, everything. You know, created everything. Well, that was not enough. He was still finding more to do. But when it came to the point of the man, there was nothing else after that. But that's it. Because he created the man in his own image. So he has reached the height of his imagination. He can't imagine anything else. And now he's done. That's how he was done, ladies and gentlemen. Not that he was tired. He's just done. And also, one reason why he's done is now the man has arrived. So, you know, the person that was to be in charge. In fact, Adam was supposed to be the governor. You know, he was supposed to be in charge of everything. The man that is supposed to be in charge and to bring everything under alignment, you know, get rid of all that this chaos and bring everything in alignment with things, the way things are done in heaven. The man has arrived. So now God can step back, relax, and watch the show. So he said to Adam, you got this. You know, I want you to have dominion over everything. What you say goes. You know, and so, and God is a great delegator. He can delegate and sit back, relax. So he said, the man is here. Let me relax. He got this. And he put everything in Adam's hand. But before he did that, he put something in Adam that will guarantee that Adam can do this stuff. He breathed into Adam the very breath, which was the Spirit of God. Put it in Adam. And he carried everything. I call it the cosmic knowledge of the Holy Spirit. The knowledge about the universe. All these things that God was asking Job, but that he knew. Adam knew it. He knew all of these things. He had understanding. So God, you know, say, well, in one of these first assignments, Adam is, let's see how he's going to use this stuff, this knowledge. So God began to bring all these animals that nobody has ever seen, because there was nobody, and which Adam didn't know from anywhere. God brought these animals to Adam one by one to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called them, that was the name of it. You know, and God wasn't going to micromanage anything. Just put him in charge. The man, he got this. He can do this. Because God put his spirit inside the man. And he knew he had it. Now, Adam did not have to learn anything. He knew everything instantly. He was a grown son of God all at once. He did not have to grow up. Did not have to learn how to crawl, how to sit down, how to walk, how to talk, and you know, all these things that people do. You know, he was a grown son of God at once. You know, was a grown man, and he had the knowledge, and he could do it. And whatever he said. Now, this is dominion in action. Because God said, have dominion. Because you are in my image, after my likeness, then you can have dominion. And this was dominion in action. Dominion means whatever you say goes, whatever you do goes. It's way beyond authority. Authority is a form of it, but authority is limited. You might be given authority in certain areas. You know, you have authority over 5 cities. You have authority over 2 cities. You have authority over 10 talents. You go do whatever you want with it. Authority over this one. But dominion, it's like you do as you please. You are in charge. Whatever you say goes. Now, in order for him to have that dominion, you know, first he had to be in the image and likeness of God. So now, in this series, one of the things that we want to focus about is, you know, how to get back that understanding that can give us dominion. But that's what God was asking Job. Do you understand the ordinances of heaven? Do you know how to set that dominion upon the earth? Maybe he didn't, but we can. And so, because Adam did, and he understood it, and whatever he said was the case it was. There are many more things that Adam did which were not recorded, you know, in the Bible. There's a lot of things. I mean, don't think that, you know, he named the animals, that's all he did. No. They looked to Adam and they were enlightened. Every one of those animals. He gave them instructions. You know, and remember, God didn't create any wild animals. They were not wild. There were no wild beasts. The reason it got wild later on was there was a glory that was emanating from Adam that put everything in check, according to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. When that glory went away, or the man fell from that glory, it's like Adam, think of Adam like being inside this bubble. There was this thing. The thing was all around him. You know, the aura, the Holy Spirit, the glory of God was around the man, you know, and that glory put everything in check, you know, and it come to him what he says they did, you know, say, you sit down over here, you do this, you do that. Everything was in check. Vegetation, plants, you know, water, animals, everything. Adam was overall. But the moment he fell, because the Bible says, well, he fell from the glory of God. When he fell from the glory of God, then these things, you know, nobody to instruct them anymore. And they started getting wild. You know, they just started misbehaving. And animals, God never created wild animals that were eating each other. He gave them their food. He gave the animals this thing, gave this one, this one. Read it all in the book of Genesis. Oh, he gave them all their meat, you know, and everything he did was good. Oh, yeah. In the case of the man, it was very good. So, you know, he looked at it all. It was all good. And then when Adam lost the glory, now that glory is what gave him dominion, or was the essence of his dominion. But that glory around him, he himself inside that glory, you know, and the glory of God around him gave him dominion. Now, after the fall, everything was reversed. See, the flesh, the bubble was busted. It was like a busted bubble. And then the flesh is on the inside. Now, all of a sudden, the guy is naked. Or realizes that he's naked because there's no glory to cover him anymore. Well, if you are naked of God's glory, you're also naked of dominion. Can't have dominion anymore if you don't have the glory of God. And so these animals and various things, even plants, they couldn't, you know, what to do. They started misbehaving. They became wild, you know, and everything. And animals became wild. God showed us, you know, a little bit that, look, you can actually have this even after Adam lost it. In the story of Noah, we saw how God gave him that dominion again to bring all the animals into the ark. I mean, God brought all the animals to Noah, and whatever Noah told them, they did. It was like an audition. They all came before him, and, you know, Noah had the responsibility of choosing. Look at this one. So, yeah, this one's look good. You go inside the ark. That's when you go away. And that's exactly what they did. And then when they got into the ark, he said, by this time they were already wild. I mean, you know, there was all these wild animals and lion and, you know, the tiger, the leopard and the, you know, the hyena and all these wild animals wanting to prey on them. And Noah put them all in order. You stay over here. No growling, no, you know, none of that stuff. You stay there when it's time to eat. I'll give you your food. You behave yourselves now. And they all did. You know, all those months that they were there, there was no animal preying on another. There was nothing, you know, none of that stuff was happening because God put that dominion back over Noah. And he had that dominion, put everything in check. Well, the psalmist talked about this dominion in Psalm 8. But, you know, it doesn't look like we actually see it yet. He said, well, you've given man, what is man that thou art mindful of him, he said. You know, mindful of the man. Who am I? It's a song we later at the beginning. Why are you mindful of the man that you have set him, you know, over all the works of your hands? Even though the man can't figure it out anymore, yet God has given him the things. You know, there's a lot of things that God has given us that we have not figured out. You know, so that's part of the education in this series, is to, find our way back to getting the understanding about how things function in the kingdom so that we can get back into that dominion. But first, we got to get back to looking like God, behaving like Him, having His character and His mindset. One of the things that we realized about Jesus was, you know, in Matthew chapter 3, when He came to be baptized of John the Baptist in the water, you know, being baptized, Luke, all of this, you know, some of these gospels recorded it. And we saw something that happened during His baptism, His presentation. You know, Isaiah spoke about it, and Jesus fulfilled every prophecy that was given about Him. One prophecy was, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given or presented. When you give something, you present it. So on that day, as He was coming out of the water, He was presented by God Himself. This is my beloved son, the voice said, that came from heaven. Woo-hoo. Now that's the presentation. But why did God say, in whom I'm well pleased, when He hadn't done anything? He had not done any miracles. He hadn't even done anything. You know, He might have been doing some things, but He wasn't publicized. For 30 years, He was in preparation. And finally came out, you know. We didn't hear much about Him at all. Bible intentionally kept that part of His life quiet. We heard one thing when He was 12 years old, when Joseph and Mary, His mother, went somewhere with all their family and so forth. And at the time they left, the census and all that. And when they left, they had a very large family. And they thought He was in the caravan with the rest of His cousins and so on. And they went a few days and then realized that, where's Yeshua? He's nowhere to be found. Oh my goodness. So looking for Him now all over the place. At the time they come back, it's been 3 days. They found Him, you know, sitting somewhere among the doctors of philosophy and all these people, you know, debating the scriptures with them. My goodness. But after that, we heard nothing more. But yet, God said, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. Beloved son, you haven't even done any miracles. You haven't done anything. But the difference is, you know, this is how we think that we're going to become the sons of God, is when we do all these miracles and walk on water. Or this is the evidence that we've become sons of God, when we walk on water, when we do all these things, when we raise the dead, when we do all of these things, then now we are sons of God. Far from it. Jesus hadn't done any of that stuff. Yet, the voice acknowledged and presented Him. Why? Because He looked like God. He talked like God. He had passed the test of obedience for 30 years, you know, because He knew what He came to do. He could have come with guns blazing. You know, this thing was done before the world began. He knew exactly. We read yesterday Matthew 25:43, where He said, enter thou into your inheritance, that kingdom, you know, that was built for you, prepared for you before the world began. He knew all of these things. He Himself was slain before the world began. He chose us in Him before the world began. We talked about this briefly yesterday. So all these things happened before the world began. Yet He learned obedience. He had to wait. There's certain things. You got to be 30 years old. You got to be, you know, to be a rabbi, you know, to be a priest. Jesus knew what He needed to do, but yet He learned obedience. He stayed 30 years, you know, being groomed and so on and so forth. You know, and then finally, He was ready. And at the time he come out, be ready, God was presenting him. He looked just like God. He talked like God. God knew that he was ready. And God was proud. He said, this is my son. So ladies and gentlemen, you know, he was fully in the image and likeness of God. That's what made him the son. And God was able to stick out his chest and say, that's my boy. Proud of him. Now, it wasn't because of what he was doing or would do. It was because of, you know, who he was. Submitted himself fully to the Father. Now, to get the dominion. And after that, you see how Jesus had dominion over everything. He could walk on water. He could do, you know, all this stuff. You know, if he was wanted to go somewhere with his disciples and they all got in the boat and left him behind, no problem. I'll just walk on the water and catch up with them. Praise God, you know. If there was no food to feed the disciples, the multitudes, thousands of them at times, no problem. Just give me a little boy's lunch. I'll just bless it and, you know, give it back to you guys and you can give it to them. And there will be more than enough. You just have plenty even afterwards. I mean, you talk about it. I mean, come to devils and stuff like that. Devils are yelling, screaming, throwing somebody in the fire and so forth. No problem. Come out of him. You know, I mean, this man just had dominion over everything. But it was in the likeness and image of God. Now, to make our way back to dominion, and we got to figure out how to come in that likeness and image of God. And in part of these ordinances of heaven, and part of the keys of heaven, is to know who God is. You know, when we understand who he is, what he wants of us, Jesus told many things, how to try to develop the people to become like God. And he was always teaching the people. In Matthew chapter 5, all those things that he was teaching, the Sermon on the Mount. You know, at the end of that chapter, in verse 48, he said, be ye therefore also perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So he was intending, you know, to show us the way to perfection. Now, understanding, let me talk a little about understanding, why understanding is also associated with, you know, knowing how to get dominion. Understanding is what God was asking Job about. Do you understand? Knowing there is understanding. You know, do you understand? Not just know something, just to know that, you know, there is water coming out the tap doesn't mean you understand how that water got there. You know, so understanding is what that knowledge is all really about. You know, get wisdom, and with all that getting, get understanding. You know, the preacher said. So, understanding. What do we need to understand about ordinances of heaven? What do we need to understand about the principles of the kingdom that can help us to get back to a position where we are being prepared for governing authority, to have that dominion again? Well, first of all, it's all about the word of God. That's number one. You know, because you can see how God did it in the beginning. It was his word. You know, we are told even that in the book of John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, the Word. And there was nothing made without the Word. In fact, you know, Colossians chapter 1 tells us the same thing. You know, the Word of God created everything. And God showed it to us. You just simply say, well, let there be this, such and such. And it would be. And let there be such and such. And it would be. So we have to understand that the word of God carries the power of creation. And it also carries the power of dominion. The way Adam dominated was through his word. We just tell your name will be such and such, and that's it. And this is where you will be, and that's what you will eat. You just repeated everything that God has said, and, you know, everything behaved. Now, Christ is the image of the invisible God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. He is the firstborn of every creature. Why? What does that mean? Well, you know, that means that he was first before anything was created. That's exactly what Jesus said himself. You know, the beginning, called himself that in the Revelation, the beginning of the creation of God. Not, it didn't mean that he himself was created. It just means God had to speak that word first before creation happened. You know, that word preceded, the beginning there means the preceding the creation of God. That word preceded it. If you ever wondered what that meant, that's what it means. It's the beginning. You know, God spoke the word and everything came after that. And by him were all things created, by this same word. You know, whether they are in heaven or whether they are in the earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning and even the firstborn from the dead. Now, he was not the first to be raised from the dead, but he was the first to be raised from the dead in a body that, you know, has the new body. You know, that we can call the new body. And in him, all things consist. In all things, he has the preeminence, we are told. For it pleased the Father, all of this is talking about Christ. For it pleased the Father that in him, Christ, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile things to himself, by him I say, to reconcile all things to himself, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now, reconcile that is also alignment. You know, you align things. You know, when you want to reconcile your bank account or your bank statement, you know, with what you actually have, it's some kind of reconciliation. You look at what the bank says and you look at what's there. You try to reconcile the transactions, the in and out transactions. We reconcile the books. It's a form of reconciliation. You align things. You align the in and out transactions, the list of those transactions with actually, you know, the balance. And if you're able to align it, well, you say, well, you've balanced the books. But it's also called reconciliation. You reconcile that. So, you know, by him to reconcile all things in heaven and earth, you know, the reconciliation is actually to make the earth align with the heavens, not the other way around. So the heavens, you know, were there before the earth. And so bring everything into alignment. That responsibility was passed on to Adam. He didn't do it. So Christ come to show us that it must still be done. And by him here to bring all things into alignment in heaven and earth, you know, and so forth. Now, Jesus would teach his disciples at times, would say, look, when you pray, say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Heaven. Well, you know, so we're seeing here that Jesus is asking his disciples, teaching them to pray that God's will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. That means bring the earth into alignment with heaven. That's what it means. When a king colonizes a new territory, you know, they would bring that colony into alignment with the custom, the way of life, the rules and regulations of the kingdom. So that colony now becomes a part of it, come into alignment, you know, and they may install a governor on day one of this series or so, I think I spoke about that, how that the Roman Empire, you know, different than all the others that were always carrying, you know, the people of their colonization into captivity, the Roman Empire did not do that. Instead, they brought their own kingdom and installed it. And you had to be in obedience and in alliance or pledge allegiance to Caesar. And there could be no other king. If any king were to arise, that was treason. Because this is now a kingdom of Caesar. And so Christ came under that same regime because it kind of, not all the evil ways, but the order and the system of government and colonization kind of made sense. You know, all the other kingdoms carried them away. Roman Empire did not. And it's interesting that Christ came during that time. And so Christ himself wasn't about to carry anybody away, but he was about to install that kingdom of God, just like the Roman Empire did. There was no other model that he was even came close in terms of the way the system of government, you know. I mean, people wanted to be Roman citizens and so on and so forth. Well, it kind of looked like what God wanted. I mean, the evil, but to show them a better way of doing it. It came during that time. And his plan also was not to carry us away to a place called heaven. You know, but you remember, these other kingdoms who carry them away, you know, people came and carry them away to Babylon, carry them away to this place, Persia, carry them away to that, carry them away. You know, that was the way they did those things. But Rome did the opposite. Rather than carry them away, they bring their own governor and then install their law in the place and, you know, put the people under subjection. And then many of them wanted to be like the Romans. And then some of them had to pay a great price to get it. Well, Jesus said in John 17 and 15 that the intention, he showed the intention was not to carry us away to heaven. He said, Father, I pray that you take them not out of the world. Don't carry them away to anywhere, but keep them from the evil. They've got a job to do right here. And that's the introduction of the kingdom, and that's what Jesus was about. When he started, it was all about the kingdom of God was at hand, teaching and preaching the things of the kingdom. We read yesterday in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and in verse 5, after his death and resurrection, he was still, when he 40 days appeared to the people, his people, he was still telling them things pertaining to the kingdom. This was the thing that was uppermost in his heart at the time, for them to understand this kingdom. Now, they didn't, to be honest, I don't think they really understood it very much, you know, until the Holy Ghost came, then they began to understand it. Because they always thought it would mean something else. Will you at this king time restore the kingdom unto Israel? Will you do this? Will you do that? And they couldn't really understand it. And the Holy Spirit came, they started to understand some things. Now, thine is the kingdom, O Lord, the power and the glory. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and power come from thee, O Lord, and in that, you know, thou reignest over all. And thy hand it is to make great and to give strength to God. This is how people prayed in those days. Jesus himself said, you know, when you pray, say, thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and the power and the glory forever and ever. It is his kingdom. And that's the one we need to focus on. You may be physically living in some earthly kingdom, but you got to recognize, you know, that you are not of this world. Jesus was saying, look, in his prayer, he said, I am not of this world, neither are they of this world. You know, we're not of this world, but we are in this world. So Jesus was always trying to teach us, and even in his prayers, showing that we belonged to a different kingdom. Even when he came before Pilate and all, so, well, you know, are you a king and all of these things? And Jesus said, look, if I wanted to do this, torpedo this thing, this place, my citizens would fight. You know, my kingdom were of this world, my citizens would fight. He said, oh, are you a king then? And he said, well, you know, now say, as for this purpose, I came. That's right. You know, that was his purpose. There were many other purposes, but most of the ones that Jesus declared around the kingdom. This was the very purpose he came. To bring that kingdom and establish it. Now, Jesus is our king. Praise the Lord. In the book of Revelation, he's called a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he is that king. Well, he reigns over kings. His own citizens, many of his citizens are also kings. You know, now that doesn't happen in any other dominion or any other kingdom. There's only one king. And everybody else, you know, well, they could be lord. I mean, they could make them a prince, the lord here and there and so forth. A knight even, and this and that. But they could not be kings. There's only one king. Well, only in the kingdom of God that you have kings and priests. For God has made unto us, you know, made us unto our God. He said, Christ has made us unto our God kings and priests. You know, kings and priests. This is what we are in his kingdom. We're not just peasants. We are kings. And that's why they're calling King of Kings. He's King over kings. And many kings. He's not just King of the kings of the earth. Well, we know he is that too. He's the Prince of all the kings of the earth. And that means he's the chosen one. But even his own citizens are kings. And you can read that in the book of Revelation chapter 1 and also Revelation chapter 5. You know, John describing some things, he talked about it. He said, Christ has made us unto our God kings and priests. And you will remember that this was the invitation that God gave to the children of Israel at one time. You know, Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, he's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. His is the dominion. That's why it's called kingdom. The king's dominion is called his kingdom. And we are in that kingdom as subordinate priests and kings under him. And we got to figure out what it is. You know, a king must have dominion over something. And what does God want us to have dominion over? Well, the earth. And, you know, how do you get it? You have to have understanding of the ordinances that God set in place in the heavens. You know, so now this establishment or re-establishment was what Christ came to introduce or reintroduce because the concept was lost. Concept had been lost for a long time. You know, that, you know, we could actually have dominion. Adam had it. And Jesus said, well, the kingdom of God is here. Go and teach it. Tell the people to repent. And then, because the kingdom of heaven is here. You know, that was the message that Jesus sent his disciples to preach. Tell the people to repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. And we, in his kingdom, our kings are priests. Also in Revelation chapter 5, we see when Christ, the Lamb, went to take the book out of him that sat on the throne, his hand. He also says in verse 10, he has made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall do what? I want everybody to take a look at that Revelation chapter 5. and verse 10. He has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Not reign in heaven, but reign on the earth. That's where the reign of this kingship that Jesus came to reestablish is for. Now, the earth in its present state is corrupt, and God must do away with it. Now, anybody that thinks, somebody was talking yesterday about, you know, some group that want to inherit this earth in the present situation condition, they are sadly mistaken. Because there is an earth that is to be inherited, but it's not this one. It is called new earth. Behold, I make all things new. God will create a new heaven and a new earth. But this earth, as it is in its present condition, with all the beautiful buildings and so forth, they are doomed for destruction. Because Daniel chapter 2 explains it. That stone that was cut out from the mountain with our hands was going to smash that image at his feet. At the end of all this, in the days of these kings, God of heaven shall set up a kingdom, you know, that shall not end. And his, you know, the dominion will not be given to anybody else but him and his people. And it will smash and crush all these other kingdoms and establish the kingdom of God. So in its present state, the world at best, I mean, they can keep developing and doing all kinds of things. It's good, you know, it's good. But that's not the world that we, as in its condition that will survive. That we are going to inherit. God's bringing something new. It's called, you know, even the new Jerusalem is coming. And it's going to purge the earth this time around. Peter talks about it, says this time around, it's not going to use water, but it's going to use flaming fire. Purge this, you know, perhaps atomic destruction. Perhaps all kinds of things that will happen. You know, and then God will renovate everything, you know, and we got to do the same thing that he wanted Adam to do from the beginning. You know, after all that, whatever cataclysmic thing that happened in Genesis 1:1 that made the earth to be without form and void and so forth. Well, and God began to restore. When he restores again at the end, he put the man in charge like he did in the beginning. Well, at the end, he'll put somebody else in charge as well. You know, they are the group that he is preparing now for governing authority. But in the meantime, we got to practice. We got to have some practice here on the earth because the eventual target is the earth. Even this thing that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Even that, you know, he is doing it. And when it's prepared, it's coming down. John said, I beheld, you know, and I saw this beautiful thing coming down from heaven. Well, it's not going to stay there. I may be preparing it there now, but it's coming down. Same thing with us. We were prepared in heaven and assembled upon the earth. That's it right there. You know, the sons of God in his mind, even as Job, where were you when the sons of God shouted for joy? You know, the morning stars, when they sang together, where were you? Well, he prepared them before the world began. But they were assembled upon the earth. A man and a woman got together. Out comes a baby. You know, but they were prepared before the world began. Prepared in the heavens, assembled upon the earth. Yeah, and that reminds me of manufacturing lines. You know, sometimes they prepare some of these parts someplace else and then they are assembled. Even some of the cars that are made here in the U.S., like those Japanese cars, you know, some of the parts may be prepared in Japan, and then they have the assembly lines here in the U.S. They put them together. They've got instructions on how to put them together. You know, and roll them out, you know, and everybody loves it. But, you know, that's what we see. So in the same way, Jesus is going to prepare a place for us, he said, well, I'll go to prepare a place for you. And when I am gone and it's ready, I'm coming again. And so that where I am, there may you be also. But we see that, you know, the thing actually came down from heaven. It came down to the earth. Call it new heavens and new earth. During that time, create something. There's a new dimension. Not the one where nobody could get into that heaven that nobody could get into. A different heaven now. You know, that, you know, those who have been prepared go in and out. They have dominion. They sit and they rule. And they can come in and out and even and do things. We'll get into that maybe some other day. But I think a couple years ago we did the Heaven and Earth series. But what I want us to know today is that there is such a thing that's called dominion. And it comes by understanding how things work and function. You know, that is the essence of today's lesson. The ordinances of heaven are the laws and decrees. There are certain ordinances also that govern, you know, the way the constellations, the sun and the moon and so forth, the way it works, you know. Up until today, God put those things in place. And scripture says, well, they remain in place. Even the Lord was using, God was using a symbolism, you know, to talk about, you know, if the ordinances, you know, of the sun and the moon will cease before me, then also will they cease the nation of Israel before me. You know, it's got ordinances around these things. But there are other ordinances too. You know, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, he said, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night. Jeremiah 31 and verse 35. You know, the Lord of hosts is his name, divided the seas when the waves roared. If those ordinances depart from before me, which they won't, you know, then we say, well, then shall the seed of Israel also cease to be a nation from before me forever. But because those ordinances will not depart, God is using a symbolism to say, inasmuch as those ordinances remain, then the children, you know, the nation of Israel will also remain. You know, and if heaven can be measured, the foundation of the earth can be discovered, well, I will also cast off the seed of Israel. You know, so God is calling, telling us that there are ordinances that control these things that he put in place. There are ordinances. If you can figure it out, then you can move those things out of kilter. You know, and that's Job. Can you figure it out? Well, there's other ordinances too that control how things work on the earth. Nebuchadnezzar figured that out. So he finally figured out that the heavens do rule. They told him, you know, well, until you figure out that the heavens do rule, that God set up over whatever he wants, whomsoever. It can be good or bad. God raised them up or put them down. But you have to figure out that the heavens do rule. Because you thought you got all this by yourself. So God showed it to him. And no, heavens do rule. And when he finally figured it out, he said, wow. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And his dominion, one that lasts forever. And, you know, none can say to him, let's read what he said. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. And his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. How did he know these things? So it took him 7 years to figure it out. And among the inhabitants of the earth. And I said, none can stay his hand. And none can say to him, what doest thou? You can't do it. You know. He said, the same time my reason returned unto me, and when they reestablished me, he said, now I Nebuchadnezzar praise and extol the and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are in truth and his ways are judgment, and all those who walk in pride, they will put them down. He figured it out. He learned it the hard way, you know. But, you know, this is the way, you know, that the holy watchers, they told him. He said, now, by decree of the holy watchers, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. You'll find that earlier in the chapter in verse 31. To thee it is spoken. Thy kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make you to eat grass as oxen. And 7 times, 7 years pass over you, until thou know that the Most High ruleth the kingdoms of men. It doesn't look like it, because we can't see God physically sitting on a throne and ruling or making decrees every day, you know, making presidential, giving out presidential orders and all these things every day. We can't seem to see God doing that. So we don't really realize that God is ruling. Well, he does rule. And he's giving this rule also to some people that is preparing to come back into the form that he wanted from the beginning. A lot of things were lost, and Jesus had to get it back. We said the other day that you know, the three things that were prepared before the foundation of the world that were all connected. One, the kingdom that was prepared for us as an inheritance. Matthew chapter 25, verse 43. You know, the Lamb itself that was slain before the world began. Revelation 13 and verse 8. You know, the people, you know, that were chosen in him, you know, before the world began. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And so on and so forth. You know, furthermore, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, we see the choices that God made even before anything happened. He made these choices. He made this election. It's actually what we call it, election of grace. The children having done neither good or evil, that the elder, he said the elder will serve the younger, called election of grace. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, he also said this thing. Whom he did foreknow, that's even before the world began. His foreknowledge was before the world began. You know, he also predetermined, that's what predestination means, their final goal or state, the end state of those that he foreknew would be to be like the Christ. That's their end state. He predestined them to be conformed and aligned to the image of his Son. Now, this Son himself was the image of the invisible God. We read it in Colossians chapter 1 and also Hebrews chapter 1. That he, the Son, might be firstborn among many brethren. They all look alike now, finally at the end. you know, and Jesus said, look, John 12 and 24, until the corn of wheat fall into ground and die, he'll be alone. But when he dies, he's going to bring forth a lot more. Well, Jesus had to die then. Otherwise, he'd be alone. Now, all of these things are in alignment, you know, with the death of the testator, which we know, even in our contemporary life, you know, that when someone makes a a will, you know, then the will is not in effect until they die. Hebrews talks about it quite a bit. Let's read a little bit in Hebrews chapter 9. There's several places where he talks about it. Let's read a little bit of it here. He says, for a testament. Okay, now let me read it from. Okay, let's read it from verse 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. That by means of death, and this is the reason why Christ had to die, for the redemption of transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called, remember, those whom he did foreknow, them he also, predestinated, and those who knew he called, and those he called, he justified, and those he justified, he glorified also. Well, those who are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. What is that promise? Well, Matthew chapter 25, verse 43. Enter ye into the kingdom, your inheritance. This is the kingdom prepared for you before the world began. That's inheritance. That's it. But in order for you to enjoy forever, he had to give you eternal life. So you can enjoy forever. But the purpose was for you to enjoy that kingdom for a long, 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 long time. And so, the purpose is for you to inherit that kingdom. But, if you inherit the kingdom and you die prematurely in that kingdom, then you're not enjoying it. So it's going to make sure you have long, 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 long life to enjoy. It's called, because his inheritance itself lasts forever. And so the people that are going to inherit it must also last forever so that they can enjoy it forever. And the reason, the way to make all of that happen is he explains it here. He said, for where there is a testament or a will, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force only after men are dead. Otherwise, it's of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So Christ, being the testator of a new testament, well, he himself had to die. After his death, then the will can be opened now, and given to the people that it was prepared for. Enter thou into the kingdom prepared for you before the world began. Praise the Lord. Well, that's the summary of where we are going. But to get there, we have to understand that while we are waiting to get there, our purpose is more than just waiting. And waiting, you might as well be waiting in the grave or Sheol or some place like that. But no, that's not where we're waiting anymore. We're waiting right here. Jesus said, don't take them away. Let them be here. Only protect them from the evil. But while they are here, they got to understand some things that they need to do. Bring in everlasting righteousness and anoint the most holy, finally. And they must do it because they are enforcers. We are praying that we are part of this select group that we hear that commendation that says, enter thou into the kingdom prepared for you before the world began. Ladies and gentlemen, the pattern of things in heavens, the way that things work in heavens, the ordinances of how things are done, all of that control, influence upon the earth, even the heavenly bodies, science has proven that, there are some gravitational pulls and different things that happen between these heavenly bodies and so forth that can actually control, when certain things align in certain ways upon the, in the heavens, it causes some things to even happen upon the earth. That's even in the cosmic heavens and earth. But in the same thing is God's spiritual kingdom. And we understand that nothing happens in heaven without an unction from the throne. And you also understand that, nothing happens on the earth without an unction from heaven. And if you know what God has already said, then you can make it happen upon the earth. Jesus knew what already happened before the world began, so he's going to come here and make sure it happens. And he's going to do his part, which is give his life. In order for that testator to die, he fulfilled that part. And then we must fulfill our part. Holy Spirit has his part also to fulfill. What is his part? Well, Jesus said, when I go, the Holy Spirit will come. And he will not speak of his own, But what he hears, he will speak and he'll make it happen. You know? So what Jesus already said, like, I will lose none of them. The Holy Spirit's job is to make sure that that happens. You know, that he loses none of them. So if you are one of his, that Jesus said, I will not lose, and Jesus is no longer here, the Holy Spirit is here to make sure you are not lost. And if you do something wrong, the Holy Spirit will convict you and bring you to the place of repentance. You're going to do it. You must repent. If you don't repent, then you are none of his. That's it. People who do not repent, they are none of his. Those who are his, they will repent. And the Holy Spirit convicts them of something, they will repent. That shows that they are part of him. But the Holy Spirit's job is to make sure that they do repent. And they will come into alignment. You know, he's the governor now. The governor of governors. It's all the Holy Spirit is. You know, make sure that we are in alignment with the will of God. This commandment I have received of my Father, that of all that he has given me, I should lose none of them, but should raise them up at the last day. Well, Holy Spirit heard that. You know, and so after Jesus left, Holy Spirit said, well, you know, Jesus said, I will lose none of them. You know, and so, you know, make sure you lose none of them. And any one of them is going astray, bring them back. Like a good shepherd, go and find them. You know, Jesus is doing that work now through the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, let's leave this lesson here today. We were trying to connect the dots. It's a 5,000 piece puzzle. And the pieces are all over the place. Somebody has the picture. God. We don't even know the full picture. But he shows us a little section that we can build. And he says, come build with me, saith the Lord. That's right. You know, and he'll show you. Bring your pieces, fit them in here, fit them in here, fit them in here, fit them in here. And you say, oh, you can see the picture forming. You know, but nobody has all the pieces. And nobody will ever have all the pieces. Some are given to me. Some are given to you. Some are given to others. I call it 5,000 piece cobble, but it's really a lot more than that in the kingdom. Millions of pieces. You got to bring it all. You got to bring yours. If God gave you 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 or 20 or so pieces, you keep those back, the picture will never be complete. You know, so you got to bring the pieces. Bring the pieces and let the Holy Spirit show you where to put it in. And you put it in and say, oh, when you try to fit that piece of that puzzle into a place where it doesn't belong, it doesn't fit. So even these natural things tell us spiritual things. It won't fit until you find the exact cutout. And then it fits just right beautifully. So all of us too, at the end, when we're coming together, it's like a beautiful army. They will now stay in their place, you know. None of them will break their ranks. There's no jostling for position, Joel's army. They will not jostle. They will fit right in there. Everyone, that which every joint supplieth, they will fit right in. May the Lord give us understanding on these things. My time is up. I'm going to yield here. We have only been trying to connect the pieces. That's a whole lot more. And I pray that the Lord will give you understanding. You know, this series is to trigger us to yearn to learn from the Lord. It's not to teach us everything. Nobody can teach you everything except the Holy Spirit. According to 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says, the anointing, which is the Holy Spirit, that you have received, he is the teacher. He will teach you all things. But then he has teachers, such as what we're doing on this platform. And, you know, it will kind of give us, you know, understanding. But the anointing is that anointing is what will actually teach you all things. Let's read it together. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. 1 John 2:27. And you need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teaches you all things. That's right. Nobody else can teach you all things. And we can give you a little pointer, hints here and there. You know, and, you know, turn you loose to go figure out the rest between you and the Holy Spirit. But that Holy Spirit is the truth and it's no lie. And even as he had taught you, you must abide in him. That's right. Holy Spirit will teach everybody. So I'm going to pray over the room to close today's lesson. Just an expansion on yesterday's lesson, really. And tomorrow I'm going to ask some questions and see if we have some understanding of these things. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that brings light and gives us understanding. I pray for this understanding. I pray that you will help us have understanding. Praise the Lord. And the Holy Spirit said, read a verse. Let me find it and read it. I was ready to close it out. Okay. I said, well, read this verse. So let me read it. Praise the Lord. Psalm 49 and verse 20. Man that is in honor and has no understanding is like the beasts that perish. My goodness. So, if we don't have understanding, you know, it's just like, I mean, we go through this earth life without understanding. It's just like we've missed our purpose. You know, just like animals that just die. You know, animals, most of the time, it's like they're purposeless. They just die. You know, one day you see an animal, the next minute this prowler prowls on it and just devours it. And they just die like that. You know, just die without any purpose. Well, if we don't have understanding, well, then we become like that in the kingdom. So we must have understanding. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray that we will have understanding in the name of Jesus. Give us this understanding, Lord, to understand our purpose. That we'll not be like beasts that just perish without understanding. Show us what we need to know. Teach us, Lord, and we shall learn. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Help us to understand what are these ordinances, what are these principles, what are these keys that we can use. Show us the right doors where they open as well. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.